good morning, good afternoon, and good day to our Dad Timeout Show listeners around the world. Welcome to the holiday show. We're just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough or not, work in the entertainment industry. We're not parenting experts, but we listen to them, we interview them, and we read what they have to say and report back to you and ourselves to see how we're doing. It's a place to put your feet up or down, relax, listen to us, do the legwork, research, reading, and share it with you. Now, all articles, interviews, and show notes are available at www.dadtimeoutshow.com. After each show, we're very interactive with our listeners, so if you could like us, subscribe, or leave a review on any of the places you can find us, we'd be forever grateful. And follow us on the gram, where we are most active. In tonight's holiday show, of course, the dads kick off with a little catch-up, a little MK birthday. Ha, that's me. A little winter chatter. And then we'll have our take on parents' funny tweets of the week dealing with New Year's. Then we'll roll on to smart articles by smart people. The five absolute truths I've learned in 10 years of parenting as the parenting editor of the Washington Post from Amy Joyce. I believe it's her last article ever. So a little sad there, but a little happy. And then we'll break down top 10 holiday lists, movies, and music. And we'll wrap up with a quick quiz from Crafty Lab on holiday movies. And then finally, things that make us smile. Speaking of things that make us smile, can we please get a soft round of applause for our joke teller tonight, our cocktail deliverer, our soup maker, and my lovely, amazing, talented wife to deliver the final joke of the year. Ma'am, what's your name, ma'am?
Jen.
Do you know how these microphones? You got to come in and talk to the microphone.
I do, actually. Maybe a professional. All right, so my joke is, what do they sing at a snowman's birthday party?
What do they sing at a snowman's birthday party?
Freeze, a jolly good fellow.
Oh, freeze, nice. A jolly good fellow.
Okay.
That is amazing. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you each and every show, all 80 of them.
Yeah.
80 plus you have
editor.
Been
yeah.
with us. You're not in the room yet, but thank you very much. When we come around the corner, the guys will join us. Dad Time Out Show coming up next.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, here they come around the corner. Welcome to the dads
hey,
and the timeout.
Hey,
hi.
We're
happy
here.
Holidays.
Cheers,
happy holidays.
Can we jingle?
Down here,
happy
huh?
holidays.
You know,
Studio B.
I let the great George Michael play out a little bit in the intro. I figured, you know,
he won't
if
us.
We happen to get sued, it's not a bad thing. It might give us
won't.
A little notoriety. By the way, we will talk about that later in the episode. That is absolutely one of my Christmas favorites. But we're going to talk about the Billboard Top 10 fan voted, whatever that's worth. We'll also go through the top 10 movies so we can have our takes on those, too. We were just breaking down Elf before as we were having our holiday soup. Hi, how was the soup?
Soup Amazing. Was incredible.
Let's paint the room for everybody. We are in the middle of a California rainstorm, but we are in Studio B tonight.
Studio B.
The heaters are on.
It's cozy.
It is cozy. Thank you,
Blankets
Mark.
It's very cozy. Lighting
Thank
is perfect.
Thank you, Chris. Ben, what is your brief story on why you're joining us tardy?
Yeah, the reason you guys had time for soup.
We would have eaten soup during the
MK
show.
Here we go. MK calls me about 10 minutes after I'm supposed to be here. Like, hey, bud. What do I owe the pleasure? He's like, you close? Like, to what? To finishing dinner? Sorry, man. I was an hour off. A full hour off.
Because the clocks, though?
We never reset.
Here's my Ben Mitation. Oh, no. Dude, the clock in my kitchen, I never changed it this fall, and I've been an hour behind.
Before, yeah, it was 4 months ago.
Four months ago.
Or you wait for it to come back, and then you don't have to, right?
Well, you don't have to change it if you never change it.
Yeah, just wait till the spring, and it'll be back to normal.
Just do math, kids. Do math.
Kids, pay attention in class.
All right.
Oh, man, what a show. It is the year-end show. We've had a good batch of shows lately. Thanks again to our special guest, Peter, coming in from the Netherlands. Ben, who is Peter? Please explain.
Peter's my father-in-law. I thought it'd be a nice little... Some flavor there. So
yes.
Some oblivion mixed with some experiences.
Well, and maybe he'll listen to the show now.
Well, Mark was hula-ing in Hawaii. We were here in a torrential downpour huddled under an umbrella with a man from another country doubting every drop of his son-in-law's existence.
No. It was a lovely show.
It was cute.
He was wonderful. And we thank him again.
I didn't know.
My favorite quote is something he said about the Hilton was more enjoyable.
You staying with Ben? Well, it's not the Hilton. My garage is not the Hilton. Pop, come on.
Oh, man. Well, I am. I have a great present, and that's the three of you. We are pushing on the show. It is my birthday today. So.
Happy birthday, MK.
It's been a very special day all around. In a God way, the sunset tonight was delivering. Ooh. Was some of the most radiant colors I've seen in a while. So that was my son and I drove to the top of the hill over here, and we just kind of chilled out for a minute, watched the sunset. They had a Victorian tea today.
I thought that was a joke. What is that?
The Victorian tea?
It was real.
It's a rite of passage at the school.
Yeah,
eighth grade rite of passage.
Really?
So it's really fun, actually. And feel free to copy this at home.
Okay.
Now, the long story short of it, I won't bore our listeners. It's a tradition that the school started about 30-plus years ago because at Christmas time, all the eighth graders in our school used to go into the city to see a show or to shop or to do whatever. But they would all wear dresses and ties and suits and all that stuff. And then the buses either crapped out or there was traffic or some reason they didn't go. And the parents all sprung to action. Now, this is three decades ago. And they said, let's give these kids a super nice lunch. And then somebody said, why don't we do a tea? And then they ran home and they got their teacups and they got their placemats and anything they could muster. And then they had a tea.
Just pulled it off.
Nice. Yeah, it's this weird tradition that's been going on for a long time. So anyway, that was today. So it was very enjoyable, actually. And then my birthday present, well, I'll just say it. It was a chair. Huh. I don't know if I'm going the right direction with that present.
But is it a massage chair?
I'm confused.
No, that would be.
Chair.
No. Wheelchair? No, there was a big presentation. I came out to the back patio, and they all had it under wraps, and they pulled it off, and it was a chair. And so let me give you a little backstory. So there's a, what do they call it? Pottery Barn outlet near our house.
Yes.
So they have odds and ends of couches that didn't work. Right. So they have these sectionals and they'll have a piece of the sectional that the family just took the whole sectional, but that piece. So anyway, they usually have four or five of them. They're like $25-$30.
Ooh,
right.
Nice.
So we threw one on our bedroom because we have two chairs in our bedroom where we always the kids sit and we chat. Right. But we had a big, you know, anyway, we got tired of wearing them down and then falling against the wall. And my wife and I were out and she ended up surprising me with a chair. And then I think, like, oh, no, what is happening? Like, do I get the Afghan next? Like, while I start watching Matlock? Like,
wasn't on the list, huh?
You need slippers and a pipe.
MASH.
Yeah, MASH. Yes. I would start watching TV Land
Golden
and
Girls.
Falling asleep to the Hallmark Channel every night. I don't know. And that's not knocking anybody that does that for a living. But, yeah, so it's very nice. Something's happening somewhere in one of these places, but enjoy the real life show, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, that was fun. The Cozy Earth was exciting last episode. We told our listeners that we put the promo code out there for
a lot of airtime,
the brand Cozy Earth. And the CEO, I sent him the soundbite from the show. And he was very receptive and fun and gave me an affiliate code and all that kind of stuff. So
nice. All
that's happening. But if you don't know the brand or product, just Google Cozy Earth bed sheets. And then you can use my code. I think it's good for another 5 or 6 days. So whatever. Michael4345. And finally,
fancy
a quick thing that makes me smile before we move on to tweets. and lists and stuff like that. Guys, I've discovered, and maybe this is, again, this is another thing of me turning another year. I was at the Great Costco, and I was about to check out. You know how they put the things that you might want to get, but you're not sure right in the checkout area? Kind of like CVS or Rite Aid. You're like, I don't really need that travel toothbrush, but, you know, 99 cents, I might as well just throw her down. Oil of Olay.
You bought
some. Do I look radiant tonight?
You got a glow going?
I do have a glow, right?
You do, actually.
Yeah.
It's been around forever.
Well, yes.
I guess there's a reason.
Yes, it has. Well, I got the vitamin C oil of Olay.
Yeah.
So now my kids, I'm like, and Ben.
Yeah, what?
No more face yoga. I'm starting to smooth it out.
Are you?
Yeah.
You nice. Noticeable difference?
Yeah.
Wait, from oil of Olay or from working out?
Well, I think maybe a double header going on there. I don't know.
I'm just growing a beard to cover my double chin, but yeah, that works.
Well, my kids won't let me. They'd say I look like the Santa Claus.
How long would it take you to grow a proper beard?
It depends. I think I would need Turf Builder in different spots.
Yeah.
Turf Builder. 3 years.
3 years. 3.5 years the last time I tried it.
Maybe never.
But I don't know.
Maybe never.
Oh, the audience wants me to try a beard. I see.
I've never seen a whisker on you either, Chai.
But anyway, we've had a good run. How are you guys? Are you ready for the year end? Are you ready for the holidays? Put this out right around Christmas, but it's kind of a New Year's show as well. You ready? Are you done with school? Are you ready to be done with school and the kids and all that stuff? Is your girl coming home from college? I have so many questions going on.
She's home from college.
That's nice.
You're the first of us to have that experience.
Yeah, but I haven't seen her.
Yet.
She's been hanging out with her friends.
And you haven't seen her? And she got
home
today.
I'm going to Target. And then 5 hours later, I'm like, I'm going to bed. I mean, like,
damn, dude.
It's all good. That's kind of it's supposed ominous. To be, right?
Yeah, we're getting little tastes of that because ours is kind of, our high school is getting socially booked.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you're going to go with her all day. Okay, I'll just be here
alone.
Doing what I do.
Jeopardy's on. You don't want to watch Jeopardy,
How do we get funner with them? We got to figure out how to stay fun. Get fun.
Read the article. There's some tips.
I have Washington Post. I didn't have the. I don't have the subscription.
The paywall.
Oh yes, oh. I couldn't read it. I tried.
You just have to put in a fake email address, then you can read the article, Ben.
Ben, there you
go. I didn't get that far.
Listeners, there's a tip for you if you want to get by the WAPO paywall.
Yeah,
I just. Make it comes up. From Mark live here on the show.
That could be a felony right there, but
yeah, we could be in prison in the new year.
I actually want the email address I created though, so now I might have to sign up for it.
We could start the new year at a penitentiary. We're not sure.
Yeah,
sorry, WAPO.
I don't think WAPO's coming after you.
Yeah,
tomato, tomato,
or Wham. You know who knows? Yeah. By the way, that's Last Christmas is number one in the UK right now.
Oh, really?
Again, it just happens to be my favorite song. Yeah. Do you know the story behind that? By the way, that George Michael recorded the Do You Know It's Christmas at the same time that Last Christmas came out, and he was happy for the success of Band-Aid's Do You Know a Christmas, but he was also saddened because Last Christmas couldn't reach number one because that held on to the spot for so long. And it unfortunately happened after his death that it actually went to number one. There's your fun fact, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up next, Tweets of the Week.
Time now for the Tweets of the Week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, it's time for Tweets of the Week. You know, to quote my source here, 21 funny and relatable tweets about New Year's resolutions. My resolution number one, I'm still going to call it Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to call them tweets.
Me too.
Threads is growing on me. I'm kind of digging the threads. We're not going to go through 21 tweets, of course. We're just going to go through. Do you guys do New Year's resolutions? Do you care? Ben, something tells me you have a take on this.
Well,
here we go. Hold on.
I just pull
everybody
up.
Everybody sitting down?
You ready?
I need a drink.
Yeah. Well, give Mark a break for a sec.
Wow, now it's too built up. Jeez. It's too built up. Well, all you guys got to do is listen to last year's pod. We talk about this every year. Do you like resolutions? Do you do it? Sorry. I just say no, I don't. I think if you want to resolve to do something, you just do it. What button did you just push?
Oh, I didn't push a button.
You pushed a sound bite.
No.
I don't do them because I we've fought over this for 3 years or so now, but I just do it when I feel like it. I don't really wait around for New Year's. So, you know, you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I dig it.
So, yeah. If I think I need to resolve something, I try to resolve it then.
Okay.
Nice.
I think that makes a lot of sense, but I also think that there is something about the changing of the new year that can help kind of launch you into that direction. You know, I look in the mirror every morning and think, what am I going to do differently today? Is it big? Is it small? Whatever.
I have a lot of mini goals sprinkled all throughout the year, but then I do New Year's. And I bought... So, anyway, there's a weird story. I had this... I thought I was fancy, and I bought this, like, digital scale that measured my water and my body mass. And anyway, so I've been going by that stupid scale for 5-6 months, right? And then I'm thinking, oh my God, well, I'm gaining weight. Like, what is happening? I'm trying hard. And then I'm like, all right, I'm just old. I'm just my metabolism. And I go to my doctor about a week ago. She goes, congratulations. You know, you're down 21 pounds from your last visit.
Which was how long ago?
I don't know, maybe a year?
Excellent. Yeah, excellent.
I know.
You're tracking well.
Yeah, I'm not going to name the scale company, but boy, that pushed back a lot of resolutions because I'm like, give me that chocolate. It's the holidays.
Just right. Give me 1 pound.
All right, let's get into the tweets. This is from Numero Uno. Let's go with the Cat Whisperer. The Cat Whisperer, who oddly is named Mark and has a cat meme on his shoulder.
Well, then.
How many cats do you have, six?
Four, still four.
What do you do when you have like 57 people over? Do they just attack people constantly?
No. They'll hide.
They don't like guests, do they?
Three of the four don't. The fourth is the one I have to keep wraps.
All right, so. I digress. Here's the tweet from the Cat Whisperer. New year, new me. Quote, finally fixes that plate thing in the microwave so it rotates.
Love it. I mean, that's like daily.
Is that like a universal issue?
It comes off. Why don't they just make it a little more?
Yeah. Why don't they just attach it?
Why don't they attach
it? Why does it have to sit on a little roller coaster?
I was in a hotel recently that had a microwave, and the tray actually didn't fit the rotating thing. And I'm good at getting it. I mean, it's not hard to align it. I finally realized after taking it out and looking, it actually was not built for that microwave. And it was very disheartening for me because that is something to aspire to.
And this is in your hotel this happened?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Weird. Interesting.
You had a microwave in your hotel room?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you used it?
Yeah, we use it.
I've never used the hotel microwave.
Where were you at? The Hojo?
No, I was at the Marriott Timber Lodge in Lake Tahoe.
Uh-huh. Ooh, fancy. Oh, yeah. They're known for their microwaves.
Hey, when you want to make microwave popcorn for your kids when you're watching a movie in the hotel with a fireplace, come on, man.
Sure. I call the concierge and say, hot popcorn now. Here's 20.
Go on.
I know.
All right. Their own.
This is from Dan Reagan comedy. Dan Reagan, very funny fella. A lot of people are exercising for their New Year's resolution. I'm watching a show I don't like because the remote control fell on the floor.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so true.
It's way awesome. Down there.
I pull one out of my dad's playbook and call my kid down. Hey! She comes downstairs like, can you pick that up?
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
I don't pull that card very often because my kids will... You know, they won't flip me off, but like mentally, they'll flip me off. Because then what happens with me is that my wife will watch some murder show, or she likes the not the House Hunters,
the Flippers,
whatever weird show she watches at night, and then I fall asleep, and then I wake up and I want to watch the Today Show, which is my now I'm kind of leaning the other way. I'm going to CBS a lot lately, but anyway, that's going to affect ratings. Watch out. Okay, so, all right, we're moving on to Mommy Needs a Life. At Mom Needs a Life, New Year, New Me. Just kidding. I'm fairly certain I'll remain overweight and continue to make bad decisions. High five to Mommy Needs a Life. Rodney LaCroix. Oh, we hadn't heard from Rod LaCroix in a while. Wife, your resolution this year should be to listen to me better. Me, bacon would be great. Thanks.
That's awesome.
That's from Rod LaCroix. Oh, this is from Myrna Tellinghuizen. Myrna Tellinghuizen.
How do you spell it? H-U-I-Z-E-N.
Pearls from Myrna. I personally have no need for a resolution, but I think you should take a hard look under your refrigerator. All right. I'll give her that one.
It's always good to pull it out at least once a year and see what's lurking.
Oh, dude.
I know. That's scary.
All right. This one's from at not the nanny. Post your New Year's resolutions to social media 2 months from now when you're elbow deep in a bag of Cheetos. You don't need anyone asking you how marathon training is going.
Right.
I like that.
How's your Spartan race shaping up?
So far. Are they still a thing?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yes. It's a big
tough
thing.
Yes.
Yeah, not me. I'll watch, but my cousin did it. My brother did. I can't risk it at this point. I'd rather run to a pint of good ale. All right. This is from, well, maybe I'm at fault here. This is from Gabby Gioa. Gabby Gioa. She says, at New Year's resolution, stop putting LOL after every text I send. LOL. Do you do it out of habit? I still put the crying eye emoji all the time.
You do. We get that one often. Yeah.
But I have some friends that legitimately make me laugh. Like there's a select group of friends that we trade like a certain level of humor, and I will say I'll go LOL.
I sure hope that people are actually laughing. I believe that they're laughing. Is that just?
I don't do LOL unless I actually laughed out loud,
like, with the crying eyes.
I'll actually write
because I don't like the haha. I don't think the ha-ha is...
I saw this and ha-ha.
Like, ha-ha, oh, really? That's not it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's almost just dismissive.
You should stop using
ha-ha. Is it offensive?
Ha-ha's dismissive.
I'm like, oh, I'm laughing.
It's dismissive.
No.
Well, I mean, not the one that you select down on the phone, ha-ha.
No, I type H-A-H-A.
Yeah, but I don't like that. It seems dismissive.
I think ha-ha's light.
Okay, so LOL is better than ha-ha?
Of course it is.
Okay. But then LMAO, and then there's, yeah. But I don't, yeah, I'm not.
Of course it is.
I'm going to go crying eye smiley face versus haha anytime.
All right.
And you put haha on a text bubble.
Just and says, actually, like, emojis kind of are a safer way to go most of the time, really.
Yeah, well, Apple, well, I don't know. I'm sorry if I'm alienating Android users, but Apple's got some killer emojis, so I like sending the most random stuff anymore. That's my new thing. Like, if someone sends me a joke, I'll send them, like, an ambulance, a basketball, and a unicorn. Yeah. I just think that's great.
Yeah.
All right. An octopus. All righty. What does
that mean? We've already lost 90% of our listeners. This has become our own personal little show. All right. Let's go down to the final one, and we'll go to Simon Holland, who Simon C. Holland says, shout out to everyone who said they would start eating healthy in the new year and already decided to wait until Monday.
I think this entire section proves my point.
What is that, Benjamin?
That the resolutions don't work, and just do something when you feel like it. Almost all of them were negligent. They were negligent. What was it? They were self...
Man. Deprecating,
self-deprecating. They were not. Dude, please cut this part out.
That is true, Ben. That is accurate.
That is absolutely true, Ben.
It is
coming up next.
Please cut that out.
Smart articles by smart people that were on time.
Smart articles by smart people.
All right, so this is smart articles by smart people. It's from the Washington Post. We grab our articles from all over the internet. This one just happens to be from the Washington Post today. And I did read a little backstory into this by a long time. They have an on parenting section in the Washington Post that I kind of read here and there. And this is the primary writer, and she's been writing for them forever. This is her very last article. So she kind of summed up the 5 absolute truths I've learned in 10 years as a parenting editor. And best of luck to Amy Joyce. She's brought us a lot of our articles over the years and a lot of our stories. So I'll just kick it off real quick, and we'll just breeze through this because we know it's the holidays and you want to get back to life, back to reality. Who sang it?
Soul to Soul.
Nice.
I love it.
That's, man, I'll tell you what,
that beat.
Like when I started editing On Parenting about a decade ago, I knew we had to cover parenting in a very real way. Parents felt alone. They weren't sure how to do this. Essentially, I felt the caregivers wanted what I wanted to be learned and to be understood. Essentially, why we started the podcast, to help each other figure this parenting and fatherhood world out. Well, these are things that she summed up that came across her plate so many times. It's almost a common thread and common sense and statistically and scientifically are good things. Number one, boundaries are good and your influence matters. There's anything we've confirmed over and over and over in the research literature is that children thrive when they have both warmth and structure. People say children will see how far they can go and we must nip it in the bud. It's true that they push the limits. They beg for another cookie, stay out past curfew, play on devices too long. The key, though, is not to nip anything, but have a loving relationship so you can say, you know, you only have one or you're past your time limit, turn it off. These boundaries and structure aren't always clear immediately, but when you take the time to truly know your children, you will better know what they need. She cites bedtimes, for instance, have always been pretty defined in my house because we all know our boys need their sleep or they don't function well. Not only do we have boundaries and rules that have changed as my children have, but we have as parents too. She learned not to take anything too personally. One of the challenges of raising teenagers, it's their job to seek independence, which often means pushing us away. And it's the job as a parent not to take this as a personal rejection, to recognize this as a sign of healthy development. Where do you guys stand
on boundaries?
I mean, we've had so many kids stories over the years in this. I think that I agree that we are growing along with our children and the knowledge, and each age is different and each age needs something different. I mean, bedtimes is not a great example in my house. We've never been hard on those, even though we know that 8 hours of sleep, 9 hours of sleep, and there's facts around that. But we're sort of mini night owls. We don't, it's not late, but it's not what I hear from my peer groups. What about you guys?
I think boundaries.
That's just bedtime.
Boundaries, like this whole discussion is so nuanced and it's painful because, like, it's easier said than done, basically. Like, especially with your oldest, right? So, like, basically, we're talking with our friends this week about our oldest kids, and they're kind of similar. My daughter and their son, and it's like, it's so hard to know. It's basically you're just in the dark. You are in the dark with your oldest because you are, like, no matter how much advice you get, you are in the dark about what is right because they're just, I feel so lost with our 14-year-old right now because I know she's trying to become her own person, but, like, that literally challenges us 95 times a day. And sometimes I throw on my hands in my hair. I'm like, forget it, you know, like.
But I also think too, it's like this isn't rocket science, but, like, each kid goes through their own different set of circumstances, which sets them up for the way they behave at home. And there's that saying that your child basically is going to act like the five closest friends that they have. Mm. They'll absorb a lot of that, and they'll come an amalgamation of that.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, the thing is every kid's a different – everybody's a different person. So when you're dealing with trying to figure out what works, getting advice from people is helpful, but you still have to ascertain who that person is. Yeah. To the point of the article, though, setting boundaries and setting them with love is basically what it is key. And regardless of what individual I have in my house, I still have to set the boundary as the parent, as this is what the family expects. But then to what the article talks about is the fact that, you know, I mean, okay, you can have another cookie, or yeah, you can stay up for another 30 minutes, or yeah, you can finish playing that game for 30 minutes. And when I find myself giving a little bit on those sort of things, I know that oftentimes if I have another ask for, hey, your bedtime is, because we do have pretty strict bedtimes, especially with a little one. He'll acquiesce. Okay, yeah, I got it. Because he'll remember, hey, last night you were cool and you let me stay up 30 minutes. Or,
oh, they totally remember.
You know, but again, we try and have those.
We have a hard line. I mean, I'm not saying it's all loosey-goosey.
No,
I know. Whatever you want. I'm just saying, like, but I do find myself too. It's like, I do find myself saying these days, okay, I have to be a parent here. Insert hard line.
Right. But also they don't, like, they're growing. It's like, I'll go to my wife. I'm like, I'll whisper, like, hey, we're treating, like, the bedtime was that time last year. She's older now. Should we, should we bump it up half an hour? Like, well, you know, when I'm on the side having these real-time conversations, like, maybe we will. Well,
what clock are you looking at, though? That's
it's almost 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Dad, the kitchen clock says I'm okay.
Maybe they're sending it back an hour every day.
You should adjust those kind of parameters.
Well, I mean, that's obviously... what you just don't know. Like, yeah, and then now our 14-year-old's like, oh, God, I've had what I want. I'm like, fine, be tired.
Even with my 17-year-old, I'll go in sometimes and be like, dude, you need to go to bed because you were a wreck this morning trying to get you up and out of the house. And I'm only doing it out of love, and I'm doing it out of like, look, I know how sleep is important. You got to do it.
I mean, I think you nailed it right there. Is for me, what you said right there was kind of my whole like parenting philosophy, is the love, right? Like you're setting these boundaries because you care, because you have love.
Right.
And as a child of a, you know, like a very strict, you know, abusive, almost like, you know, dad and family, you know, I didn't want to do that with my kids, but I do feel like having those boundaries, having those rules, like the kids definitely are going to push those limits and try to test their boundaries. But I feel like your role and then showing love and showing that you care is by, you know, and I think that's also a good way to kind of like, you know, reduce the tension and that, you know, the craziness is to say, my dad used to always say, you know,
you're not doing it to lord over them. You're doing it because you've been around a while and you kind of know what might work for them. And as their parent watching them grow, you're kind of like, look, man, I know how your body works. My 8-year-old, look, I know you need this much sleep. I know you need this much sleep. I want you to do your best.
All right. So we all agree with number one.
Heck yeah.
Boundaries are good.
Yeah.
And your influence matters.
We're called guardians for a reason.
Moving on to number two, Guardians of the Galaxy, Ben. Kindness and empathy are learned. Mm-hmm. I have read dozens of things on this, and I've seen the science, and I've seen all the studies and tests, and yes, and they learn by example, right? They're watching you, they're studying you, they're seeing how you react with the world, interact with the world. Yeah, we do a fun exercise. We go out sometimes, but just like, let's just compliment one person and just like see what happens. And you may compliment a hat, a scarf, and a, you know, whatever it is. But anyway, one of the most read stories they've ever had on parenting is Are You Raising Nice Kids? A Harvard psychologist gives 5 ways to raise them to be kind.
And we've read that article.
We have read that article. Yeah. Director of the Making Care Common Project at Harvard suggests that we forget to simply don't prioritize caring for others. 80% of youths interviewed said their parents were more concerned with their achievement or happiness, whether they cared for others. Children are not born understanding how to help their community. They need parents to model for them. Being kind to strangers, to bus drivers, to wait staffs, asking your small children who they were kind to today and why. Piece by piece, you are helping them build their moral fabric. My uncle wrote a couple books, mainly on business and stuff. But he has a little series of pamphlets, and I remember one that really caught my eye. It was just, Are We Losing Our Civility? And that really, I read it, and it sunk in with me, and it actually became a driver for me to teach civility and, you know, along with ethics, along with kindness, along with empathy to the kids. I think we're all kind of plowed this ground, but if you have anything to add, you know.
I mean, my thing is just, I feel like it's more and more urgent that we focus on kindness and empathy, because I feel like with technology and like sort of the way that the world is heading, I feel like you don't flex those muscles as much, you know, you're behind a screen all the time interacting. So it's not as much face-to-face interaction. And I feel like empathy and being kind is almost like a lost art. You know, it's like,
they don't even know how.
Yeah. My 8-year-old sometimes will ask me, do you know this person? I'll be in a store, because I'm trying to do the same thing that you're talking about, MK. Just whether it's a compliment, whether it's just having a simple conversation, being human, having that social interaction. Yeah. And he asked me often, did you know that person? I'm like, no, I was just being kind, being kind. Friendly. You know, it's like, because people aren't, like, the pandemic really kind of shot down that whole ability to reach out.
I'm saying I'm perfect, but if I'm at TJ Maxx and I see an employee busting their butt, I'm not going to, like, be mad that I can't get the tag on, or, you know, the magnet off this piece of clothing. I'll comment. I'll be like, my God, it's so busy in here. How are you doing? Like, you know. Yeah. All right, so number one, once again. To recap, boundaries are good and your influence matters. Number two, kindness and empathy are learned. Number three, we've all talked about this, but I'm just summing up the article. Let them learn for themselves. I even had this conversation today with another mother at an event I was at. And we have the same conversation we have on the show all the time. Like, we used to play until the lights went on. We used to do this. And we made mistakes. And we ate it off a bike ramp. And we fell into the creek. Yeah. But we learned not to do that again. And, you know, I think this is it's common sense, but it needs to be said, you know. Let them learn from themselves. Let them build. Let them mess up. Let them, you know, do all that stuff.
I do a terrible job of that.
Far as what?
Letting my kids fail.
Well, I'll say this. There aren't as many opportunities in this situation. We live in urban suburban. So, like, my kids really can't ride their bikes all over creation. They can't, you know, there's no woods near here. So you can't, like, fall from a tree or things like that. I'll let them, yeah, I do okay. I don't do great. I don't have enough opportunities to really let them make mistakes, but I don't consider myself even close to a helicopter or a snowplow parent or anything like that.
I wouldn't put myself there either, but I definitely see, you know.
I mean, I definitely am a little bit helicoptery at times, but I do feel like, especially with school and academics, and I pretty much stay out of the way and I trust them, and luckily they've kind of, you know, turned out okay. So I feel like that method works for me.
It's, yeah, Jessica, like, Leahy has a really good book called The Gift of Failure. She's follow her on Instagram. She's really good. She's like, do you want them to be able to do it perfectly today the way I want it done, or do I want them to be able to just do it themselves next time? You know, that's the million-dollar question in that thing. And the helicopter stuff is real, but it can be really detrimental too, because when you see when they get out there, now you ride a fine line.
Yeah, I mean,
you're tough on yourself, but yeah, you have a girl thriving at UCLA right now, and you know she's doing, at least as far as I know, really good.
I mean, we're really about like, you know, we try to adopt the growth mindset and all that, books and stuff, but all that really means is like you got to make mistakes to learn, right? So if you're always preventing them from failing, then they're really not growing or learning,
right?
And so I don't know.
Even like, so my kids writing essays to apply to these high schools right now. And then my internal is like reading them and I'm like, oh, you just switch that sentence around. And you know, so we have this, I went to an orientation at one of these schools and the admissions director is like, look, we've done this for years and we know eighth grade speak compared to parent speak.
Sure.
And we'll sniff it out. I mean, you can apply that a million different ways, you know, but yeah, we've never really done that. They've kind of created their own messes. We may tidy up periodically, but
we don't let our kids roam like we were allowed to roam. We didn't, you know, it's a different world.
Yeah. Again, like geography wise, I don't know. If I had kids that lived like where my brother's children live in, you know, rural Tennessee, urban suburban, but they live a little more in the hills of Knoxville, which is not a big city. But, you know, they're out and they're roaming around and they're doing their daily, you know, neighborhoody bike things, you know. I don't know. But anyway, this is kind of just like saying helicopter's bad. Failing is good. Connection is the key is another one. I agree.
Very much.
From Megan Leahy, mom's group I attended when my boys were little, someone said they had a parent coach who changed their family's life. What did she do that was so magical, we asked. This mother laughed a little and said, pretty much showed me why I needed to hug my kids more. I went into Megan as our parenting advice columnist, and that hugging advice is a bedrock of her parenting philosophy. It's not just about hugs. What she wants us to know is that everything comes down to the connection with our kids. I don't know why we're here on earth, she said to me recently, but we are, and we're built to connect. We as parents can spend a lot of time actively not connecting with our kids. I need to get this done. I need to get that done. I have to focus on this other thing. So when my child looks to be misbehaving, we should shift our focus to, my child is trying to connect with me, she says. I agree. I mean,
I don't agree with that their child's trying to connect you. They're trying to assert their independence. I think they're trying to pull away from you.
I think it might be both, but this particular bullet point of this article really made me like pause and think.
I've heard this 7 million times. Yeah. I still get told by others, it's going fast. Watch, it goes fast.
Don't believe
it. Time's flying by. It's crazy. It is crazy how fast it goes.
I feel like I wish I could go back in time, and I wish I could freeze those things. Like the article says, like that's why you look at your kids' photos all the time longingly, and I find myself doing that all the time. But, man, like, you know, once my kid left for school, I was kind of like a little just taken or shocked or surprised. Like I just felt like it snuck up on me.
I've thought about, I'm sorry.
I thought
about why lots of times, and I noticed that things slow down when you change environment. So we've had the opportunity to live in a few different places. And like, I think the reason it goes fast is because we're in the same, if someone is raised in the same home for 18 years and you kind of have a similar routine, it's like a lot of the days blur together. And then you're like 18 years later, oh, what? That would seem, 1 year seemed like 10, but I don't know, changing your environment. Or so I would say, if you have the opportunity to live somewhere for a year, you know, do a home exchange or something like that. You can do it for free. Like that's what we've done. It's kind of slows things down when you change, you know, change up more adventure, I guess.
All right. Well, here's her advice. Write it down. Take pictures. Notice things in the moment. Like when they put their head on your shoulder, when they say something wise, when they do something kind, when they're funny, and when they want to talk to you, give them that minute. When they beg you to sit down with them at bedtime and you're exhausted, give them the time.
Totally.
Because it does go fast. That's why you look at photos of them on your phone at night after they're finally asleep. That's why you already miss them and they still live in your house. That's why you tear up when you give their outgrown Halloween costume away. I guess this is what I really learned while raising two boys. I learned about these two people who live in my house, who grew up with a mother who was a parenting editor, who sometimes hated that I knew so much, but who are their very own self-propelled, amazing individuals, despite me, despite the very little I know.
Oh, that's sweet.
And that's Amy Joyce. Good job.
Nice.
All right. Smart Articles by Smart People. That was a good one. Get a little emotional there.
What? Yeah. Sheesh,
yeah. Yeah. Amy Joyce. Hey, that is, it takes a lot, right?
Quiz time! Parrot quiz! Quiz, 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 quiz.
But anyway, let's see how they would do 40 fun Christmas movie trivia questions and answers. But listeners, we will not do 40. We are in the interest of time. Okay, I'm going to give you multiple choice. If you're playing in the car, good luck. If you're playing at home, good luck. In Miracle on 34th Street, Susan wants three things for Christmas. Which of the following is one of them? A, baby brother. B, White Christmas. C, a Barbie dollhouse.
White Christmas. White Christmas.
Miracle on 34th Street.
White Christmas.
That is incorrect. The correct answer is a baby brother. All three of you are wrong.
I just watched that movie.
I'm sorry, Mark.
I'm thinking of Wonderful Life.
I'm trying to be positive here at the end of the year, but that was all wrong. Okay, number two. What are the burglars in Home Alone known as? A.
The Wet Bandits.
The Wet Bandits.
Oh, answering before the questions are lit, he's confident. Everybody agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why you do that, Moff?
Gold Tooth Bandits. Scarface Bandits. The answer is the Wet Bandits.
Yes.
Who gives Kevin a set of ceramic doves in Home Alone 2? The Pigeon Lady, the Toy Store Owner, or the Bellhop?
The Toy Store Pigeon Owner. Lady. Nope, Toy Store no, Owner.
Toy Store,
really? Toy store Owner.
Everybody says
nope.
Toy Store Owner. Okay. Toy nice. Store Owner. Correct answer is Toy Store Owner. Good job.
Hard to say.
All right, question number four. Who voices Scrooge, the main character in A Christmas Carol, the 2009? Is it A, Jim Carrey, B, Rowan Atkinson, or C, Jack Black?
Rowan Atkinson.
It sounds like a Rowan thing.
Mark tries to sound smart, throws out Rowan Atkinson. What do you say?
It's the first one. Who'd you say first?
Jim Carrey. He's played a few roles in his life.
I'm the third one.
He says Jack Black from Jumanji and School of Rock.
Yeah.
And Tenacious D. Chris just shrugs his shoulders.
I'll just go Jim Carrey then.
Correct answer is Jim Carrey. Sorry, Mark.
Jim Carrey. I didn't watch it. I'm just stabbing. But you could tell that Mark was wrong by how you said that.
Yeah.
Right. The way he said Mark was trying to be smart and said that. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't right.
Seemed like a Rowan Atkinson.
Mark did jump at the net one prior and got it right. So one for Mark. In the movie Elf, where does Buddy go to find his biological father? A, Rockefeller Center. B, Empire State Building. Or C, One World Trade Center.
Empire State, State Building.
Correct answer is the Empire State Building. Great job. In The Nightmare Before Christmas, who is Jack Skellington's main rival? Is it Santa Claus? Is it Oogie Boogie? Or is it Zero?
Oogie Boogie.
All of you say Oogie Boogie. The correct answer is Oogie Boogie. Okay, number seven, in Love Actually, who surprises Juliet with a boombox and a message in the movie Love Actually? Is it Peter, Mark, Jamie? Peter, Mark, or Jamie?
Jamie.
It says Jamie.
I say Jamie too.
This is Jamie too. Well, the answer is Mark.
Is it Mark who's the one with the cards at the door?
It's a great movie, but who listens to the names? Love Actually, I thought was a great movie until I watched it with very young children.
No.
And then I'm like, whoa, I forgot about that part. Anyway, now we're watching it because they're older. Okay, and number eight, The Christmas Chronicles. What song does Santa and the inmates sing? Santa Claus is Back. I love that movie, by the way, The Christmas Chronicles. That's an under-the-radar kind of movie. Santa Claus is Back in Town, Little Saint Nick, or Run, Rudolph, Run.
Run, Rudolph. Rudolph.
Correct answer is Santa Claus is back in town. Everybody's wrong on that one. In The Santa Claus, what makes Scott become the Santa Claus? A, he got stuck in the chimney. B, he puts on Santa's suit. Or C, he commands the reindeer.
The suit. It's a Dutch movie.
Correct answer is not it's a Dutch movie. It's he puts on Santa's suit.
I said the suit. The big question was
Peter have known that? Peter have known that?
No.
Number 10, what toy does Howard struggle to buy his son in Jingle All the Way? A, an action figure. B, a video game. C, a talking robot.
That's not a Christmas classic.
It's A, an action figure. Everybody was wrong. Silence makes you wrong in the interest of time. All right, coming up next, we're going to blow through music and movies and then things that make us smile. All right, we've done these before when we've kind of gone through these lists and we've kind of dispersed them throughout the show. But we'll just plow through. I thought you guys would find curious what listeners and viewers' polls were. What is your favorite movie of the holidays? Chris, go.
I like Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown.
Really? Did you take Mark's? Mark's just jolted.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
It's going to be Christmas.
Mark just jumped.
Christmas Vacation.
That's a good one.
So good.
That's
dude.
The best vacation Chevy movie.
I'm seconding Charlie Brown. I was when we were thinking about Christmas movies, I was like, if I could only watch one a year, which would it be?
And that would be it.
Really?
Mean, Elf is a close second, almost. But Charlie Brown, you just come on.
Well, yeah. So here's number 10. According to this is IMDb, the International Movie Database, had a viewers poll. 1,700 people voted. Here's what they said. Do you agree or not? Well, it's all over the map. It's not just family. Number 10, Bad Santa.
No.
Unbelievable. No, it's the viewers. It's not me. Number 9, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yes.
The original?
Although that should be... Oh, yes, the original.
This is going to shake the tree.
Uh-oh.
Well, number 7 is going to shake the tree.
Not the Jim Carrey one.
Number 8, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh.
That's kind of...
Number 7 is this breaks my soul. Elf.
Oh, that's too low.
Number 7, really?
It's too low on the top 3.
A lot of Christmas movie, Elf. Guys. Hold on. Just wait what he has to say, okay?
I may or may not be wearing an elf costume on Christmas Day. That's all I'm going to say. Do the math of where I will be. Mm. Number 6. Oh, I just watched this with my little. Wow, it didn't go higher. A Christmas Story.
It's a good movie.
Number 7, Elf. Number 6, Christmas Story. It's going to shoot your eye out. Yes. Number 5. This is number 1 in a lot of Europe because it's obviously. Mm. Yeah, any guess? Love Actually is the answer.
Love that.
This is my wife's absolute favorite. This is the first one we watch to kick off the season, actually, every year. Number 4, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yep.
It's just so timeless. So funny. I don't know. It gets in there every year, but number 3, Die Hard.
Oh, God.
I love the movie. I just don't. I don't know. I can't buy it. It
doesn't put me in the spirit, but I love the movie.
All right. Well, yeah. It doesn't put you in the spirit for what, Mark?
Last scene.
Whoa.
For Christmas.
Wow.
Say anything. I've never seen.
For Christmas.
Where did they take the survey?
Mood and spirit are different, Mike.
The 1,700 people took this. IMDb. Number two, Home Alone.
Okay.
All right. Excellent. I can do Home Alone. Yeah. Still timeless.
Spirit. Can't argue it.
And I do agree with this one. Number one.
Hold on. Give us a minute then. It's
going to
be like,
it's got to be the, of course. It's the Scrooge one, the Christmas Carol.
No, it's not. It's A Wonderful Life.
What is that?
That's Mark.
I was going to say it, but the thing is,
you were mimicking me.
Miracle on 34th is not on it.
I was doing Jimmy Stewart.
Frosty's not on it. Rudolph's not on it.
Yep,
I thought you were making Santa Claus.
He was doing a turkey sound.
The number one.
I thought he was doing a turkey sound. I was going to guess.
No, it's Jimmy Stewart.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Nice.
All right, now we're on to music. We're on to music.
I got you, MK.
So that was the top 10 movies. Oh, here comes my family.
It's a birthday, dude. It's your birthday. Yeah. Wow, surprise. Surprise.
Entering with a flat chocolate cake, lighting candles. Long. There's only three candles on there. There's three kids as well with a bunch of presents. And they're going to give them to our dear MK.
Hold on. I'm sorry. This doesn't convey well, but pictures.
Yeah. Painting in the room. I'm trying to do a commentary. I'm not as good as you.
The whole family came out.
That's good. Yeah.
They do love you. Cake. It's true.
And now MK's blowing out his birthday candles.
Yeah. Oh, I'm confused. I thought for my birthday, I thought I'd give you guys presents. Come on. Oh,
thank you. Thank you.
Oh, man. I thought we were doing. I'm getting all.
Well, thank you, family. I love
you. Thank you, family.
They love you.
I love you, Key. I love you, Elle. I love you, Elle.
You guys are the best.
Thank you, Mama Jay. Nice entry, fam. Nice
move.
All right, I'll let you open these when we get to the things that make us smile segment. Not until then, but I am very grateful for the three of you all year long. But we still have a segment to get through. Whew, it's tough being a professional.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Billboard top 10. What's your favorite? I already gave it away earlier. My Last Christmas makes me so happy every time I hear it. I love George Michael. I love everything about it. Favorite Christmas song that you will not change the station every time it comes on?
I like the oldie, it's cold outside. Baby, it's cold outside. The duet.
Cold outside.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, Come Emmanuel.
Oh, wow. How does that go?
Oh, come Emmanuel. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, wow. All right.
Well, I mean, it is. It's kind of a Christmas. It's kind of about Jesus, so I like the church hymns.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
I'm going Andy Williams. It's the holiday season.
Oh no!
Whoop de doo.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm still going Last Christmas.
I like the jazzy.
Close second. Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Bruce Springsteen. I go pop. I do like the hymns. Stevie Wonder's got that one I love. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Keep going. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Jimmy Stewart? Dun,
dun. I played it last year on the show. No, it's not Jimmy Stewart. Smart.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble. Right.
Clarence, I got my wings.
Sweet pea.
All right, number 10, according to Billboard, this is another listener's viewers poll. Number 10, Donny Hathaway, This Christmas. Number 9, Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Number 8, Run DMC, Christmas in Hollis.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
Number 7, Feliz Navidad.
Okay.
Jose Feliciano, Feliz Navidad. Number 6, Brenda Lee, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Okay. Number 5, Bing Crosby.
There you go.
The crooner, White Christmas.
Yeah, yes.
Number 4, Wham, Last Christmas.
Hey, hold on. You're getting to the top 3?
Number 3,
not be Mariah Carey, man. I mean, don't.
Please. This is the listeners poll. Number 3, Nat King Cole, The Christmas Song.
That's a great song.
Number 2, this is another one up there for me. Darlene Love, Baby Please Come Home. That was terrible. Darlene Love.
Look at Mark's face.
What are you laughing at? You were supposed to open up for New Order. That never happened. Yeah, shut up.
You're right.
All right, number one, Mariah Carey. Is this number one? This is not like a universal scientific.
People get nervous and just say something. That's what that is.
Yes.
All right.
All right, so let's move on and keep it consecutive with things that make us smile. And if you could put down your cake for 1 second and open your presents.
That's a huge bite,
Chris. Open the presents?
Yes, let's open the presents.
Oh, we're going to
open
them. Out at the same time.
The smallest one first. Are we doing this together?
Do it all together, any order. It doesn't matter.
Nice, man.
These are three things that make me smile.
Come on.
I've had a wonderful year.
Is this your Oprah list?
I've been healthy. My children make me smile. But when I'm on my hardwoods, nothing makes me happier than warm wool socks.
You got me extra large? Did you get us all extra large?
Everybody extra large.
Thank you. Okay. I love good socks.
So when you put on yummy socks and your sweatpants and you're just sitting by the fire, think of me.
Can I break these out?
You can open either order, but this is an item that I talk about on the show regularly.
It's my first present in a long time.
Yeah.
I don't get presents very
often. I take care of you guys.
I feel bad that it's your birthday.
Yeah.
And we're getting the gifts.
I know. I'm feeling bad.
That's quite all right.
M-A-O-8.
Hotel. Here you go, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
What is this?
Okay. So that will go in conjunction with the other box.
Oh, the other box. Okay.
So keep going.
It's like Christmas vacation. Like, Clark, I know you've envied mine.
Is this the diffuser thing?
So I got you all.
Oh my!
A diffuser,
diffusers, and then fragrances that mimic the lobbies of famous hotels.
I love that.
Yes,
I was actually looking at like the cabana smell.
So these are not the major league, but these are the minor league versions.
Nice.
But you just add a little water, you put a little diffuser, a couple drops, and it will turn your room around.
I'm going to put this on my bed.
You look LED changing mood lights.
Yeah, well, it's also got the lights, too.
Nice. I love it.
So I know that didn't make for good listening, but...
No, it did. This is something I would never do for myself, ever.
No, for the listeners.
But I think I'm going to say.
So you have warm socks, and you have lovely two of my scents. Favorite things. Yes,
thank you so much, scents. MK.
It's my pleasure.
I'm going to try your life on for size over here.
All right, so this is things that make us smile to finish off our holiday New Year show. I will say, you guys, we realize this year that we've been together over 80 times if we do the amount of shows. And through all those times, we went through a pandemic, we went through an insurrection, we went through international travel, we have gone through 3 years of different ages of children and discussing this and dealing with each other and helping each other with our problems and with our situations and talking each other through and sending hilarious texts consistently for 3 years. Yeah. So I'm very grateful for the show, the listeners, and you guys all together. My family has backed all of this the entire time. My wife obviously produces the show and edits the show, and I'm grateful for all that. And they're all happy, funny, and healthy, as you just saw, as they were delivering the goods. So that is my final year-end things that make me smile.
Wow.
And I hope the little things around you make you smile. Chris?
Yeah, I'm glad that my... You know, kids back from school and hanging out, sort of. And my youngest daughter got a part in the school musical that she was, you know, stressed out about. So I'm really...
What musical?
I believe it's...
You should know these things. You don't want to show up with the wrong one.
Not Beetlejuice.
She said she was in this
play. The Addams Family. The Addams Family.
Oh, delightful.
Yeah, yeah. So
we'll all go when she goes.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to spending time with the family all together. We finally finished up all the repairs that we had to do, water damage to our house, so we can finally open it back up and invite everyone over. So we're calling everyone over. So the in-laws, it's going to be pretty crazy, but...
Notice that he went right to the in-law card.
Yeah,
like, the three of us sitting here. He's like, I get the... Yeah.
Everyone?
Everybody but you guys over there. Ben?
Yeah, so this is true. Sometimes I make up the things that make me smile, and they don't really make me smile. But I had the biggest grin the other day watching my 7-year-old at the
tragic Christmas program at school. So bad that it was good. You know what I mean? Oh, it was a train wreck, and it was really, really cute. And I was just smiling somebody, and he was trying to hold it together, and just like they were all wide eyed looking at the piano player. It was really funny.
Who, Mo's?
Yeah, Mo's, my 7-year-old.
He's so cute.
He's so dang cute. And they were just, it was so bad, but that was just like, it was really cute and funny. So God bless the terrible Christmas programs out there. And then something I just came up with this moment as I was listening to your gratitude spiel, MK, is like, it's been fun to watch all your kids grow. Like, I don't know them so well, but I see Penny sometimes around Alameda or something. But also just MK, your kids coming out. We've seen each other's kids grow up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
These are pivotal years, so it made me smile to see your little ones. And you mentioned those 80 episodes. Episode one, these were all very different little people. So it's really cool to see each other's kids grow.
Mark?
Yeah, I'm also grateful to be able to hang out with you guys and do these shows and talk and be friends and text each other during the day and just have the interaction that we have beyond just sitting here and talking. I like the holiday season. I like driving the streets and looking at the Christmas lights with my kids. We take detours a lot just to see houses and see who's decorated and what they've got up there. And thankful for my family, thankful for everybody's good health, and just glad that we're heading into another good holiday season with blessed lives. So
we have.
All right. Well, as we all mow down chocolate cake.
Yeah. I waited, but
you can put these socks on. Wait,
those socks are amazing, dude. These are the nicest socks I have.
I think that's delightful, and that makes me smile. All right, listeners, thank you for hanging in, bearing with us, joining us, growing. We're growing. How's that happening?
Maybe.
But it's awesome, and I love the commentary. I love the pictures. I love your posts. I love all the interaction that we get to have with our listeners each and every time. And that's it. We're wishing everybody a very happy end of the year, a tremendous new year. And we'll catch you on the flip side. Happy 2023. It's over. Let's move it on. 2024. Here we go. We're the Dad Timeout Show.
Peace.
We're out of here.
Happy New Year. Good evening.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Timeout Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.